All right. If you wouldn't mind, would you guys just kind of stand up for a second? We're gonna read the word, and I'm just gonna bring Psalm 77, 11, and 12 into it. And I don't know, they'll probably have it on the screen. Maybe it just says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago, and I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." All right? And I want us to think about that for a second. I know Father's Day is coming up in just, 2 weeks, basically, right? And Pastor Steve will be here. I want us to read this again, and I think that's the same that I have here. So if we can just read it aloud, if you don't mind. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." Let's do that one more time. Let's do it one more time. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we worship you, Lord God. I ask as the word's being brought today that we actually let it sink into not just our hearts, but our minds, Lord God, that where we won't be conformed by this world, we'll be transformed by the renewing of the mind, Lord God, that we would not be seeking after anything for ourselves, but we would chase after your dreams and your desires for us, Lord God. We love you and we worship you. In Christ's sweet and holy name, all of God's kids said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just wanted you guys to get that, because when it says, "I'll remember the deeds of the Lord," you guys got to remember we're talking about a father. Okay? And then there's a lot of people that maybe don't have a father. There's a lot of people that may have had a bad father. Right? And believe it or not, that may be why Jesus said, "Call no man father." No man father. See, because he is the father to the fatherless. So we've talked about this before, about we're basically reaching out to people that are orphans and trying to connect them with their father. That's all we're doing. That's what our job is as Christians. So what we're going to talk about today is, "I will remember." All right? In that Psalm 77 verse, when it says, "I'll remember the deeds of the Lord, yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." See, a lot of times we forget what he's actually done for us. We forget about it. We don't walk in what he's done for us a lot of times. See, that's the foundation. I know that Jason just has been building a house, and I'm going to say this out loud. I don't know much about building, but I don't think you could build too much without a foundation, right? So what would happen if you built something without a foundation? Probably fall. Okay. All right. So let me just remind ourselves real quick, all of us real quick. There's a crisis in America right now. A crazy crisis. And actually, it's an identity crisis. And you guys are going to go ahead and you're going to move to this one thing. You're going to move to, "Oh yeah, but, you know, people don't know who they are," all this kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it's not the people that don't know who they are. It's the church that don't know who they are. See, we're a Pentecostal church. We're supposed to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Nobody wants to hear that one most of the time. The fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, talks all about the fruit of the Spirit. So I'm just asking you guys today, if you'll remember, just remember what's actually happened. All right? Here we go. I'm fixing to solve the identity crisis. This church right here, this church, I'm not talking about any other church. I'm talking about this church, right? It was born out of a tent revival on Anafrail. Moved to a little building, then moved here. I want you to think about that. Let's see, there was somebody that was there. I think it was these two young people right here. Weren't you part of that? Yeah, didn't y'all go to Anafrail? Yeah. Yeah. And what happened? I think didn't you get somebody to go there? A few of them. See, what you guys, was there anybody else at Anafrail? Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? You guys were at Anafrail? I want you guys to recognize something for a second. There's your foundations right there. See, Shirley, you guys don't know this, but she would always ask me for a list of the youth and who they were so that she could pray for them every day. So you guys don't see that kind of stuff, do you? Right? We've got Sunday school teachers that taught, gave their lives to teach. So I'm just trying to tell you there's a good foundation. So now we can start building. Let's go here real quick. If we can remember what Father God did for this church, then we can actually pour into the fathers or the dads that are in this church. And then we can pour into the dads in the neighborhoods and into the communities, into the city, into the county, into the whole state. See, it's when we remember those things that we're actually able to take those steps. Sometimes we forget where the steps are. And it's from the foundation. It's built. All right? I also want to address something today. You know how it's really funny when people don't want the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to show up in a church? They're scared that their friends might think it's wacky or goony or whatever it might be. Well, I'm here to tell you something different. Maybe we should exchange our comfortability for being uncomfortable. Because last time I checked, it's when we're uncomfortable is when we move. Right? So let's kind of get uncomfortable because we know there's one with the name the Comforter. And that's the Holy Spirit. He is a person. The person of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to sit back and we're going to understand these things that we've got, we know the Father's deeds. We know what was happening at the beginning of church. Then maybe it's time for us not to be that church. Maybe it's time for us to be the church. See, because there's a lot of that churches out there right now. But there's not many churches that are trying to be the church. So I'm asking you, and I don't want to go too crazy. I know I'm trying to make sure my time. Don't worry about time. Okay, are you sure? Because I got 10 more pages. No, I'm just kidding. See, let me ask you this, I'm just going to read this because when I wrote it down, it was so mind-boggling to me, and I want you guys to understand this. And it's sort of talking about what we were just talking about. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to comfort us and stop trying to find comfort in other things, right? So when we stop worrying about offending people and be more worried about offending the Holy Spirit and stop getting upset when the Spirit is manifested, and get really upset when people are trying to manipulate the Spirit. If we could do that, if we could get really upset when that's happening, then guess what? The Holy Spirit, the gentleman, will walk right in. because that's an invitation. So my dad used to say this, and it's coming up on Father's Day, and I lost my dad a few years back. And he used to say this. He said, "Son, there's nothing more important than your relationship with the Lord and having the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. There is nothing more important. Not one thing." He said, "You may love somebody, you may care about people and everything." He said, "But there's only one thing that's important. And that is your relationship with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life." And if we can't recognize that, if somebody can't see that, I mean, the oldest thing, I think it was Zig Ziglar that said this. He said, "If being a Christian was a crime, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you?" Come on now. Kind of get silent on these kind of things, don't we? I guess the best way that I can put this is we can walk around and say how much of the Holy Spirit that we have, but what we really need to do is ask, how much of us does he have? Does he have our undivided attention? Does he have us wholly, or is it partially? Which way is it? See, I think that gives a brand new meaning to less is more. Right? Because when we become less, he becomes more. But if we become more, he becomes less. Does that make sense in our lives? So I just need to ask you guys to just think about this. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas, I know you know the story. There was things that were happening in their life, right? They were going through a city, and Paul got upset and basically rebuked a demon that was in a young lady. And that was, and cast the demon out, actually. And that was where they got in trouble. See, a lot of times when we address the demons in people's lives, we get in trouble. A lot of times we're not offending the people, we're offending the spirit that's inside of them. And the cross is very offensive to sin. I've never heard Christ apologize for being offensive to sin. Not once, not in the Word. So Paul and Silas were in jail because of their casting out this demon, and then the family couldn't make their money anymore that they were making off this soothsayer. And so they took them and they beat them, and they it says that they rented their clothes. In other words, they didn't rent it out like for money. They tore their clothes. And then they were put in the inner sanctum of the jail, the deepest part of the jail. And then, if you know the story, I don't know about you guys, but after I'd been beaten, my clothes been torn off and all this kind of stuff, and probably pulled hair and slapped around a little bit, I would probably be in a little bit of pain. But guess what? They said in that midnight hour, they started praising and they started worshiping. They started praising and worshiping. And then it says that there was an earthquake and their shackles fell off and the doors flung open. See, I'm here to tell you right now, you guys need to understand one simple thing. The reason I asked you to come up to the altar today had everything to do with shaking the earth and allowing the shackles to break off and the doors to fling open. See, I think that we can stay in these four walls if we want to, and those doors right there, they can stay as closed as we want them. But guess what? We are the ones that are responsible for taking what we know and have found out in here out there. I think a lot of times we spend a lot of time begging and asking God to do things that we should be doing. We should be. And if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we need to be out and have a heart for the lost and the broken. So, here we go. I'm going to wind it up real quick. In these times, what's happening right now, I'm just going to rip this off if you don't mind. Hebrews 10:23 tells us this. Let us hold fast the profession in our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. The one that promised us this, he is faithful. Right? It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. In other words, we're supposed to be making each other love and go out and do good things. We're provoking each other. Even if it becomes like a little, competition. How many people can you reach this week? How many people can you tell about Jesus this week? Maybe we should start asking ourselves, how many did we tell about Jesus last week? Maybe we should understand that maybe within the last year, we hadn't been telling as many people as we should. See, I think it's got to be a horrible thing, actually, for us to know the truth and have everything within us that we need, but yet we're not telling anybody anything. The whole job of the church is to actually bring the good news, the gospel, which Jesus said that he came, once again, to destroy the works of the devil, right? And we're going to be deceived. It says in these last days, it said, and let us consider to provoke each other unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's a lot of people, and, you know, I'm going to hear all these different kind of things. People are going to yell and scream at me, and they're going to go, well, Paul, the building ain't the church, and all this other kind of stuff. No, it's not the church. It's a place where the church gathers. It's a place where we can come together, we can gain knowledge and wisdom, and then we can go out during the week, and we can reach people, and then on Sundays, we don't come anymore just to learn. We come to celebrate what's happened in the week. See, because the boldness of Peter and the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when he stood up, thousands were added that day because of the boldness of the Holy Spirit in his life. So I'm going to tell you, we're in a time, and I believe this is a huge end time event that's happening right now. Okay? And if you don't understand that and you don't see that, come talk to me. We'll talk about it. As a matter of fact, these words hit me so hard, and I actually made a little thing and put it on Instagram and all these other kind of things. But it says this, tell us when these things will be. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? In other words, they're asking Jesus when he's going to come and the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Let me ask you a question. Have you seen any more deception than we have had within the past like 10 years? So the actual him telling the disciples when he's coming back is when you are being deceived. And then it goes on further. It even says that I'm going to have to cut those days short because even the elite or the elect that believe in me would be deceived. You know, I've heard a lot of churches, I've heard a lot of different things, and people are saying different things about, you know, all the sicknesses and everything else, and they're talking about, oh, taking this or taking that, or I don't want to go into all the stuff we might get flagged, you know, for COVID on YouTube. But what I'm trying to tell you guys is I want you to understand, we can either believe on Christ, or we can believe what the world is saying. Which one do you want? The one that's been faithful or the one that's been reckless? It's just that simple. It really is. It comes down to that. Now, we're supposed to be reaching a wrecked and lost world. But we don't get caught up in the deception of the wrecked and lost world. Everybody getting this? Yes or yes? Okay, I'm just making sure. All right. So this is basically why I'm talking about this today, about the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about Paul and Silas. What happened was the jailer, after everything flung open and everybody was pretty much free, he was going to kill himself because he thought everybody had left. But Paul cried out. He said, no, we're all here. See, we've got to be there for people. We've got to be there for people. And I think the church has kind of been absent. I'm sorry. During this time, I think that the church has been absent. So I'm here to tell us today, the church, all of us, that we need to wake up. Awake, O sleeper, is what the word tells us. Be vigilant. Open your eyes. See what's going on. See, because if the Holy Spirit's in you, then you're going to have the discernment to be able to tell what's going on around you. Because nothing can confuse what's going on inside of you. Right? Last time I heard, you know, Jesus stood up in the bow of a boat and he said, peace, be still. He told peace, which was in turmoil, to be still. A lot of times our peace is like that raging ocean. And Jesus just needs to stand up in the bow of this boat and say, peace, be still, this vessel. So we have to ask him to stand up sometimes. Because a lot of times, believe it or not, we've been pushing him back down with what we want and what we desire for our lives. Right? So what happened after the jailer realized that all of them were here, were still in the jail? He said, my goodness, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved is what he said. And then guess what he did? After that, he took them out and he took them to his house. He cleaned their wounds. He cleaned their wounds. He washed them. The one that actually was looking over the very system that had them bound, but then God freed them, was radically saved and changed. And then it says that his whole household then received God. See, I believe it's very important that we reach dads so the whole household can be saved. It's good to have a flourishing youth ministry or a children's ministry and all these. It's really good to have that. But I'm going to tell you, when we have dads, that's where the church actually grows. See, I told Pastor Lewis one time, we were talking, and Pastor's got a thing where he likes to have more people. He wants as many people to come and be part of things. That's his thing. He wants that, right? And I just told him, I said, Pastor, I said, there's churches that have more people, but there's not that many churches that require their people to be more. And he looked at me, he goes, you know, you're right. So I'm asking, are we going to be more? Are we going to be that light in the darkness? See, God has planted us here for a reason. We need discernment more now than ever. We need the Holy Spirit more now than ever. Because of those times, those perilous times, and we can see it upon us. We can already see it. We can look at it. So I'm just asking you guys to understand, everything today, without any type of coercion, whenever I got the list from Debbie, it already had some of the songs that I was actually looking at. And then I said, Debbie, what about this song? And what about this song? And She said, well, I already was going to do that, but I didn't send it. Right? And Holy Spirit, you're welcome here was one of those songs. The very last song, pretty much, I guess. And then, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might. See, we've been trying to do things with our own power. We've been trying to maybe get people to come to church. Maybe if we have this good enough or that good enough, people come to church. But I'm going to tell you this, and Jason probably knows what I'm about to say. There's an old saying that if you set yourself on fire, people will come and watch you burn. It's just that simple. So if this church is consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, people will come and watch this thing burn. So it's up to us, church. Maybe the identity crisis needs to stop. Maybe we need to understand we're Pentecostal. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we need to understand that laying hands on the sick and them raising up and being healed is where we're supposed to be. Let's not try to get in any other lanes. Let's stay in our lane. And I don't mean to be mean, but the last part of the thing was I guess it was John the Baptist said that there's going to be one that comes that is going to baptize you with fire. I can't even loosen his sandals, basically, is what he said. But he's going to baptize you with fire. So I think we need to start seeking out the baptism in the Holy Spirit again. I think that we need to understand that it's not kooky. I'll guarantee you, watch this. This is real simple, and I'm going to end with this. I was at PTL years ago. We were in the amphitheater. I bet a lot of you guys probably know about the amphitheater. Kel, you guys probably know about the amphitheater, right? Narrow Way was in there. Watch this. This is really simple. I was sitting there, and I sat back, and I said, man, God, what's going on? What's happening? I'm just sitting there down at the bottom of the steps. I don't even know how many steps. Do you know how many steps were there? It was a ton. I know that. It was tons of stairs. My dad was working security. And there was a preacher. His name was Coy Barker. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. And he stops in the middle of the service and he said, God wants to heal somebody tonight. And he looks up and there's a woman sitting in a wheelchair at the top of the stairs. And he said, bring that woman here. My family members had known her for a little while. My dad had worked around her for years. And I watched as the security team, my dad, all them brought her down. And Coy looked at that woman and said, do you want to be healed? And she looked at him. And I know she was probably sitting there going, dude, are you crazy? Of course I do. Probably in her mind. But she was just weeping. And she said, yes, yes. And then he said, the kingdom of God is here. And he laid his hands and he said, put her feet on the ground. And she stood up. And you got to remember, she probably hadn't walked in 20-something years. The muscles were probably about gone. And I'm here to tell you today that I watched a woman not walk, but run up every one of those stairs by herself. So we can either start believing again, or we can stay the same. Staying the same is really easy and comfortable. But maybe it's time for us to be uncomfortable and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he was sent to this earth to do. Convict hearts is the number one thing. Did you know that? That's the number one job, to go to the heart. Then to comfort once we realize what's going on. A friend of mine said this from England, Andy. He said, Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So guys, I'm just asking you, where do we want to go as a church? It's really up to you, believe it or not. If we allow the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit to actually overwhelm us and take us to new places, then we'll be in new places. I was just telling, I think George and Rita, we were just talking about this. If we would just do simple things, just simple disciplines over an amount of time can be amazing. I'm just being real. If we could just be the conduit of the Holy Spirit, if we could just allow him to flow through us and us not stop it up, us not try to take it over here and monopolize the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense to everybody? Guess what? We're trying to tell people about stuff that we're trying to hold on to instead of giving them. It's up to us to impart these things to the youth, right? To the children. It's up to us to impart these things. God entrusted us with these things. So I love you guys very much, and I would be wrong if I didn't ask this. Is there anybody here that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you don't, man, today's the day. As a matter of fact, the Word actually tells us today's the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. It actually says that. Isn't that crazy? Not yesterday, because that's too late. Not tomorrow. It might not come. Today. There's a reason they call today the present, because it's a gift. Today is a gift. So we've got to understand, where are we going, church? What's our direction? Is it in our personal time, our personal devotion? Yes, it is. Is it when we're with our kids? Yes, it is. Is it when we're out in the marketplace? Yes, it is. So I'm just telling you, I love you very much. If there's anybody that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. I remember a woman sitting right back there when we had pews just years ago. And she said, you know, I've been coming to this church for almost 30 years. I've been cooking for this church. I've been doing everything that you can even imagine. And she said, but last Thursday I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Imagine that. Somebody's been doing all the things. They've been sitting in church, enjoying worship, enjoying the Word of God, hearing it over and over. But they said, last Thursday, I gave my heart to the Lord. Imagine that. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Well, guess what? I'm not waiting 30 years. I want everybody to know him. I want everybody to know him. What are you going to do? How many people are you going to reach this week? I dare you to talk to one person about Jesus. I dare you. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and go Christmas story on you. I triple dog dare you. I skip double dare. Triple dog dare you. I dare you to share your faith. Guess what? You've been sitting under a lot of word for a long time. We can't be spiritual gluttons. We need to be going out and feeding other people. Is that making sense, everybody? All right. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, we love you, and we worship you. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the worship that we had earlier. We thank you for the word, Lord God, to help us and to provoke us to go and love others. And Lord, I'm asking that You give double doses of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, over and over to your people, Lord. Lord, take these households, Lord, and pour over them constantly. Lord, we love you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our hearts, in our minds, in our houses, in our church, in our community, Lord God. And let us go that way. Let us go to where we want, or we have such an insatiable appetite for people to know you. Lord, that we'll never be satisfied, that we'll need to keep reaching people for you. Lord, we love you and we worship you. In Christ's sweet and holy name we pray. Amen.